So tonight, for the next 30 minutes, I'm going to talk to you in the continuation of what I've been talking to you on Sunday morning, because when I preach Sunday, the next Wednesday night week from right now is our candlelight service, so Christmas is here. And then the next Sunday, which will be the 21st, all of our children program, adult program, all will be on that Sunday morning. So I wanted to be sure to get this in before I preach on Sunday, because I kind of formulated this for four different times, and so I want to use it tonight if I can. And then after Christmas, of course, we don't meet that Wednesday between Christmas and New Year's, and the Sunday between Christmas and New Year's, we'll meet one service at 10 a.m. on that day, but we'll be headed toward the New Year by that time. The last two Sundays, I've preached under the banner of the light has come. I use John 1:5 as my kind of the launching pad from that. And that verse says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. I've spoken under the subtitles in that the last couple of weeks. The light was promised in Isaiah chapter 9. And if you get the nightly devotional or daily devotional that I send out, you're about tired of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 by now. But I've just kind of picked that apart in devotionals this week. And if you don't get that, we encourage you to take a look at it. And it's available to you on Realm. I thank you that some of you have put your pictures on Realm. I appreciate you doing that. Continue to do that. And I was asked tonight when my acting debut would take place to film a video to tell you how to do that. And it's coming up. I just got to give Bob time to catch his breath. Then I preached The Light Revealed and talked about Jesus Christ did come as Emmanuel, as God in the flesh, dwelling among men. We talked about what the light revealed last week. His light did shine into darkness, and the world had its sin exposed, and the darkness exposed by that light. And all the shortcomings of humanity was pointed out by the fact that Jesus Christ came to this planet. The very heart of Christmas. I don't know if I've ever sneezed in the pulpit, but I almost did. The very heart of Christmas is the eternal infant became Christ. The Creator became a carpenter. God stepped into skin and came to planet Earth. And we posed last time at the close, why? And all that took place. The Christmas, Bethlehem's manger, the Advent, all that took place for one reason. That Jesus Christ could come to this planet in a strange fashion as a child, and to walk where we walk, to hurt like we hurt. The Creator becomes a carpenter. He works like we work. He came to die where we should have died. He died on the cross, and he came full of grace and truth and the grace of God. I'm always amazed. I'm enamored at grace, because grace is the fact that God loved me even when I was undeserving. And I'm still undeserving today. And to know that his grace loves us even though. It loves us anyway. It loves us unconditionally. And Jesus also came to reveal truth. And that truth of Jesus Christ reveals who we are and what we really are. And the only way to have a good Christmas ever is to walk in the eternal light that's revealed. And that is to walk in Jesus Christ. The light of Christ reveals the way that we need to walk in our lives. And I challenged you at the close of the message on Sunday to come walk in this way with me. Come walk in this way to know that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you walk with him, experience the light that is Jesus. And if you know that you know Christ and you know and have experienced that light, it's been my experience to always find out that Jesus, wherever darkness is, Jesus is there to illuminate that. And if you look for him, you'll always find him. So Jesus comes to the manger. He grows in Nazareth. He moves from Nazareth to Jerusalem. He comes out and begins to call his disciples together along the Sea of Galilee. And we'll see that area when we go next November to Israel. He goes and calls those disciples out to himself. And then he begins his ministry. And there's a point in Scripture where Jesus goes back to his hometown. He goes back to Nazareth. And you remember the story. He gets back there, and when he gets back there, the people there reject him. They say, well, isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't he just a carpenter? How did he get so smart? Where did he come from? And so his own rejects him. So tonight I don't want to talk about the light rejected. I want to talk about the choice between light and darkness that every one of us have. And I pray to God that most of us in this building have made that choice to accept Jesus Christ. And I want to use this as my foundation for the next few minutes that I have in John chapter 3. And I want to begin reading in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus said, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God's name. It's clear to me that the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ came to save people. There's no doubt in my mind that the whole mission that Jesus had was to come to this earth and save the likes of me. He came, and he didn't come to force himself upon anybody. He came simply to be there that men might call on him, that women might call on him, that young people might call on him and know him as their Lord and Savior. But in our life, every one of us in our lifetime, and I think as I look at this group tonight, most of us have done so, but every person that ever lived on this planet or ever will live on this planet has a choice to make between light and darkness. You can either receive Christ or reject Christ. No answer is rejection. No decision is rejection. Because Christ came not to force himself on anybody. He gives you and I the opportunity to receive him. And our lives will be lived in greater joy and greater happiness if we know that we know Christ, if you choose light. If you choose light, you live eternally. If you make no choice, you do what I call die eternally. Because as surely as knowing Christ gives life eternal, I believe just the opposite, that if you don't know Christ, then that brings eternal death. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what death looks like. I don't know what it will look like to die without Jesus. I'll never experience that. You say, well, you're kind of cocky about that. Like you know, I know that I know Jesus. And so therefore, I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of dying because I believe on the other side of me closing my eyes here, I get to look into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a choice that we must make. And sadly, there are many people who do not make that choice. People are born. We don't have time to go into all the theology of it. People are born into this world in a world full of sin. And our lives are covered in darkness. And eventually, we have to come to a place where we know that we've accepted Christ. If you look at verses 16 and 17 of the springboard that I read to you in John chapter 3, you discover that God's love sent Jesus not to condemn, but to save. I don't know how many people I've run into in my life who have said to me, I don't want to be a Christian, there's too many rules to follow. I don't want to be a Christian because I don't want to be forced into anything. Good news. There are no rules to follow. You say, what do I mean there's no rules to follow? Listen, if you got the Lord in your life, the Bible's not an issue. If you got truth in your heart, being truthful is not an issue. If you know that you know Christ, following after him is not a problem. If you don't know him, you don't want to follow him, then you kind of have a burr in the saddle between you and God. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave Jesus, he gave his only begotten Son, that you and I could come to him and not perish, but have everlasting life. It's clear that God sent his Son on that first Christmas into this world for one purpose, that whoever believed in him and trusted him would not perish, but have eternal life. I don't know about you. I don't want to live forever here. I saw a guy today that's about my age, and in fact, I think I'm a tad bit older than him. And I watched him get out of a vehicle at a store in downtown, and it took him the better part of 15 minutes to get from the truck to the store. I went in, did what I needed to do, and came back out at the same time and spoke to him and thought to myself, my soul, you don't have much life here. And I happen to know him, and I happen to know that he probably most likely does not know the Lord. I can't judge, but I'm looking at the fruit the tree bears. He probably doesn't know the Lord, and I thought about the difference in me knowing that I know Christ, and if age matters, I'm a little bit older than him. I'm able to get around a whole lot better than he does, but I don't want to live on this earth forever. I want to go home to be with the Lord someday. And because I know Christ, I know that I'm not condemned in him, but I am saved in him. He came into the world, this light that is Jesus, to illuminate sin so that you and I might know what sin is, that we might come out of the darkness of sin into the everlasting light that gives everlasting life, that is Jesus. Many, in fact, most, I gave you statistics not long ago on a Sunday morning, the vast number of people in the world who do not know Jesus. It's the percentage of people who do know is about 29%. That leaves 71% of people in the world that don't know Jesus. And when you look at the United States of America, we used to lead the pack. We used to be way out front on Christian commitment. Our numbers are fading in the United States of America. The Bible is plainly outspoken on the matter of condemnation. People that don't know Jesus, so 71% of the people in the world, if that statistic information is right and the guy that I got that information from, Barna Institute, is really spot on most of the time, if that's the case, then that means 7 out of every 10 people in the world will go to hell. Jesus Christ came to illuminate the light. The tragedy is that so many people reject Jesus. Verse 19 of the text I read to you, or verse 18 says, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The Bible plainly tells us, and is very outspoken on the matter of condemnation. It's not Jesus coming into the world and pointing out our sin and condemning us because we are sinners. It's Jesus coming into the world and pointing out our sin that we may not be condemned by that sin. And the scripture is very plain to say that if I don't know Christ, if I don't know him and receive him as my Lord and Savior, then I'm condemned already. It's not him doing the condemning. I'm condemned already because of my lack of belief in Jesus if I do not believe in him. It's not Jesus coming in the world and pointing out the lost and thereby condemning humanity. It's Jesus coming into the world and offering humanity a way out of the darkness. Failure to choose, as I said, leaves one in that original darkness. And if you're in that original darkness and you're not in the light that is that first Christmas and even today, there's not much can happen for you. Therefore, it's not Jesus who condemns. It's the one who refuses to believe in Christ. And because he refuses to believe in Christ and to believe in that first Christmas that Jesus came to die on a cross that he might live, that we might live, that person that doesn't believe that's condemned already because of their failure to believe. So it's so important that you and I frankly believe in Christmas. That we believe Jesus came to this planet for that purpose. So the original sin idea is in place. All are condemned who haven't come to Jesus by their own nature, by the fact that we're born into a sin nature. And every one of us have to come out of that darkness. And I believe there are many who love darkness because it hides sin. Some people don't want to come out of darkness because they're trapped. Satan has got them trapped in a place to think there's no need having the light. It's been that way from day one. And I really think that is his way of doing things, is to keep people in darkness. I was looking at some other statistics when I think about dark versus light. And I looked at some statistics that I was able to find online, and I know that you can't believe everything you believe that you read on the internet, but this is pretty good, solid stuff. Statistics that were compiled by the United States Bureau of Justice. These statistics prove out that darkness is when sin is most rampant. Darkness is when sin is most rampant. 70%, these statistics said, 70% of violent crimes occur between the hours of 7 at night and 7 in the morning. Things like rape, murder, armed assault, armed robbery, use of a deadly weapon, all occur in the night, 70%. So the message that Jesus came to deliver was a message of light, that darkness might be exposed. And too many people in this world have fallen into that light and decided that they like the darkness over light. And somehow Satan has convinced a lot of people that darkness is where we all live. The vast majority of people in our world have rejected Jesus and remain in that darkness. But the good news is this. Friends, truth triumphs. The truth of Jesus Christ comes out on top every time. Verse 20 of the text I read to you says, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." I remember a time in my life, I didn't want to go to church. I had been raised in church, but didn't want to go to church because the way I was living my life did not quite line up with what church taught. And because of that, I didn't want to go to church because when I got near the light, it burned. When I got near the light, it convicted. When I got near the light, it bothered me, and I didn't want to go to church. And then I met my wife, and the second date we had was to go to church. I didn't know what God was up to then, because about 13 months later, I accepted Christ into my life. Even though I was raised and born in the church, I accepted Christ about 13 months after I married, and God began to do great and miraculous things in my life. But I didn't want to go all that time I was in darkness. And then there came a time in my life when I tried to run away from God, and I wanted to stay as far. I didn't want to drive by a church because the light was there. And the light penetrated the darkness in my life. Those who come from the darkness into the light find forgiveness and freedom. Dr. Adrian Rogers, who pastored the Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee for a number of years, was one of the stalwarts of Baptist life and frankly saved the Southern Baptist Convention from ruin back a few years ago, he and a team of others. He made this statement. He said, "The unsaved will go to hell, but they will never be unloved." That's powerful. God loved me even in darkness, even when I rejected him. And in my life is living proof that God so loved the world that he sent his son to die for me, and that he could bring me out of that darkness that I had become familiar with, that I began to like. I wanted to stay there. I didn't want to be bothered. And then Jesus came, and the light illuminated my life. My friends, the light of the first Christmas in Bethlehem's manger, one of the newest places I think we go to in all of our trips in Israel is to go to Bethlehem and to go there and be near the spot where Jesus was born. We don't know the exact location, but we got a good idea. I like the way Dr. Toler used to say in seminary, he would say, look, you may not be standing exactly where Jesus stood, but you're probably within 50 feet or 100 feet of where the Savior actually stood. That's pretty amazing. Go to Bethlehem, you're within just a few feet of where Jesus came into this world, where light came into the world to illuminate darkness, where light came to so love the world. God sent his son for that purpose. And the very light of that first Christmas is still shining. It's not in Bethlehem's manger any longer. It's in the hearts and lives of men and women who believe in Jesus. And because that light still shines, darkness is being illuminated. And I think in the last few months of our life, the last few months of our existence here in the United States of America, and really for that matter, around the world, it seems like, there are more and more and more people coming to Jesus. And that's amazing that that's taking place. In a world that's so rejected Christ, in a world that's turned its back on the light, is now coming out of the darkness somewhat in great numbers, especially among young Americans, coming out of the dark and shining for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that light that was Bethlehem's manger that first Christmas, though it was rejected by his own, though it's been rejected by you and me and in many others, that light still prevails, and in the end, that light always prevails, and truth always triumphs. Truth always comes through and shines in the lights of those who will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, it shines in the hearts and lives of those who have come to Jesus and believe in Jesus. And that light has come and still is in the business of exposing darkness so the human beings can see where they are and see what's happening in their life and have hope. Hope's a great word. And we have people that are not, they don't have any hope in life. And I think one of the most destitute places anybody could ever be is being a place where there's no hope. There's no hope for tomorrow. There's no hope for tonight. There's no hope for next year, next week. There's no hope in their life. I love what Paul said when he was talking about death and dying. He said that we grieve. He's talking about when people die. So we grieve like those that we don't grieve like those who don't have hope. The hope that we have in the light that is Jesus Christ, the hope that came in Bethlehem's manger, the hope that came at that first Christmas, is still alive and well in the hearts of men and women today. We can hope in Jesus. I sent out a devotional. I think it comes out tonight. I get mixed up in them so much. I write them and I send them out one at a time, but I don't know when I'll send it. I think it comes out tonight. And it was very simply talking about the fact that you and I have a great opportunity in knowing that we know Christ. And we have a great opportunity to have the greatest Christmas ever. And I talked about Jesus Christ being the Prince of Peace. And in that devotional, I talk about looking through the filter, if you will, of Jesus at the world that we live in. When you look through the world through a filter that is Jesus Christ, it makes a lot of difference in how you look at things. When you fall in love with Christ and fall in love with the light that is Christ, it's amazing what begins to happen in our life. The light has been rejected, but the light has also been received. And because those who have received it have come to know him and love him, the world still has an opportunity to see Jesus in us. It'll never end. This light will never be extinguished. It'll never go out. From that light, from that first Christmas to beyond that, even back years before. But at that first Christmas, that light shined in Bethlehem's manger. And today, it shines in our hearts. I trust, as I said not long ago, I trust that you'll have that little childhood song in your mind. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And if you let your light shine, the world around you will see that Jesus is real. And they'll know that there is peace, there's hope, there's happiness, there's love, there's joy, there's all kinds of things that come to us because we receive the light that is Jesus. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son that those of us who might believe could have life and have life everlasting. What a joy it is to know Jesus Christ, the light of Christmas. Father, I love you. I thank you for this night, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity that we've had to come together and, Lord, to spend this time in just hearing your word and, Lord, just having confirmation of what you do for us, Lord, through Jesus. Thank you for Christ. Thank you for that first Christmas, God. Thank you for the illumination that is Jesus in our world. Father, I pray that through each of us he might shine, that our community, our area, our city, our town, our county, the place where we work, might know that there's a difference in our life because Jesus is there. Thank you for that everlasting life and everlasting light. Father, I thank you that you have made it very plain that Jesus is the way to have access to you. So, Lord, may that light shine in our lives that we might see you and know your will for our life, for the church, for our life, for our families, and life for our lives every day. Lead us and guide us. We'll praise you. Bring us back to this place again on Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. You owe me 5 minutes. I'll get it back. Thank you, folks. God bless.